the last several weeks, and I'm trying not to make my introduction too long this morning, we talked about self-surrender, that is one of the keys, if not the key, to living a Christian life. And then we talked about putting God's will first in our lives. And then we talked about Abraham, of course, and how he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that we need to set our affections on things above if we're to live a life of self-surrender, as it tells us, and as Paul wrote to the brethren at Colossae. In Colossians, the first chapter, 1 through 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So this morning, what we're going to do is talk about another word that has to do with surrendering, and it's meekness. Again, Jesus said in Mark, the 8th chapter, in verse number 34, he basically said to his disciples that whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, meekness is not easily defined. When one cannot cite a synonym that fully conveys the idea of meekness. Of course, Jesus said that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Others, some people think of meekness basically as weakness. And other people think that meekness is a quality over which we have absolutely no control. That either you're born with meekness or you're not. And it has nothing to do with you. But God demands that we be meek. In Zephaniah, the 2nd chapter, verse number 3, about the meek, it tells us that they should seek God. It says, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice, who have upheld his righteousness, and seek righteousness, and seek humility. In contrast, Peter writes, with the outward adorning, Peter says that a woman should wear the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. 1 Peter 3:4. Paul urged Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11 to follow after meekness. And in Colossians 3:12 here, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. So the Colossians were told to put on meekness. So since God commands us to be meek, it's evident then that meekness is not weakness. And furthermore, because God commands meekness, it implies that we weren't born being meek or not meek. It implies that meekness is a choice, that we have control over whether we are meek or whether we're not meek. Again, the word of meekness, the word meek, cannot be expressed with one synonym. And so I'm going to look at different explanations of the word. First of all, the lexicons. Thayer defines the word, translated meekness, as gentleness or mildness. Another translation identifies meekness with humility, with courtesy, with consideration. Vine says it is that temper of the spirit in which we accept how God deals with us as good. therefore without disputing or resisting. Closely related to the word meekness is humility. This meekness, however, being first of all meekness, is meekness before God, but it's also meekness before others, before all people. We are supposed to be meek, and even meekness before enemies or evil men. In Galatians 5, verse 23, meekness is associated with self-control. So, that's what the lexicons say. As far as dictionaries, they define meekness as a gentle and long-suffering disposition. Submissive, compliant, humble, showing patience, showing humility, submissive. Another dictionary, meekness relates to the manner in which we receive discipline or injuries. We are to bear them patiently and not to retaliate or seek revenge. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse number 2, it tells us here, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. This word here, lowliness, is mentioned, and that leads naturally to meekness. The meek individual is somebody who is slow to insist on their rights. Let's look at an example. The same person we looked at before, but in Genesis, the 13th chapter. And this is talking about Abraham. In Genesis, the 13th chapter, verse number 7, it says here, "And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom." Of course, then it tells us the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. But again, Abraham is showing meekness here. He's insisting, he's preferring to let Lot have the first choice. Meekness is also the full possession, complete possession of all faculties of one's total being. It's illustrated maybe by a captain. Imagine a captain on a ship, and there's waves, and it's terrible weather, and he continues to keep control of the ship in the storm and guides the ship to safety. When we have meekness, we put our trust in the Lord and we allow Him to have control. So meekness, what is the conclusion of that? Meekness involves humility toward God, and it involves humility toward men. Meekness is also submission to God's will. It's also accepting the discipline we receive. And meekness also is self-control or inner mastery or strength. And so what I'd like to do now is look at two different examples of meekness. There are many cases of meekness in the Word of God. But there are two notable cases where the word meek is actually used. So let us first look in the Old Testament And let's look at Moses, and let's look at Numbers, the 12th chapter. Because Moses suffered patiently from all those who opposed him. That's one of the signs of meekness, to suffer patiently from those who oppose you. In Numbers, the 12th chapter again. And we'll begin at verse number 1. And here in Numbers, the 12th chapter, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. I'd like to say, just so you realize, when I read humble, the King James, I believe, says they're meek, that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved. And so it's basically showing us how Moses was willing to suffer. He continued to control himself through the whole thing. And there's no indication as when they were saying these things against Moses that he flew off the handle or got mad. Moses was submissive to God. That also is what shows meekness. Let's look at Exodus, the 34th chapter. In Exodus, the 34th chapter, and verse number 1, and it says here, and the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tables or tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. And in verse 4 it says what Moses did when the Lord commanded him. So he cut the 2 tablets of stone like the first one. And Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone. So here we see a quality of meekness, being submissive to God. Moses was submissive to God. And Moses, again, was humble. In Exodus, the 4th chapter, verse number 10, it says here, in Exodus 4:10, and that's wrong. I was in the wrong book. Exodus 4:10, And it tells us here, then Moses said to the Lord, after the Lord had told Moses that he would speak in front of the people, O Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses realized he was going to have to rely on the Lord. He was humble. And we need to realize the poverty of our own spirits and how we need to rely on the Lord. And in spite of this, meekness shows courage. And Moses was a man of courage and strength. And when people did sin against God, Moses showed righteous indignation. Let's look at Exodus, the 32nd chapter, and verses 19 through 21. And we know that when Moses was up on the mountain receiving the commandments, that Aaron and the people had gone astray, and they were worshiping the golden calf that Aaron had made. And it says here in Exodus 32, verse number 19, so it was, as soon as he came near the camp, Moses was coming down to the people, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in a fire, and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So you see, even though you're humble and you're submissive, you also have courage and strength to do what God would have you to do. Now the second example of meekness is even greater than that of Moses, and of course, it's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's see what Jesus said in Matthew, the 11th chapter. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, and verse number, well, we can start at verse 28, since this is familiar to us. Jesus says here, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so here in this translation, my translation, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. And the word also is meek. I am gentle or meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, Jesus demonstrated. Let's see how Jesus demonstrated the qualities of meekness. Let's go to Matthew, first of all. And verse 26, familiar verses to us. Matthew 26, verse number 39. And Jesus said this. He says, and those who pass by blaspheme him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days. And that's not where I want to be. I'm sorry. And so instead of trying to fit that into my lesson, we're going to go to 26:39. And Jesus, three prayers here. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And so now it says he went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I, but as you will. And then verse 39, it goes on again. And he says here, verse 42. And he says here again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. So Jesus, again, as Moses, was submissive to the will of God, so was Jesus. So meekness is part of meekness is submitting yourself to the will of God. Also, Jesus was submissive to the will of the Father regardless of what the circumstances were. Let's read what it tells us in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 2, and verses 21 through 23, and it says here, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Why did he leave us an example? And then it says here, "That you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return." This shows meekness. When he suffered, he did not threaten. That's a quality of meekness. But he commanded himself to him who judges righteously. So Jesus was willing to suffer patiently. Again, that's a quality of meekness. What about sinners? How did Jesus deal with them? Well, we know the case of the woman caught in adultery. But what about those who put Jesus on the cross, which we could also say is us because our sins put Jesus on the cross? But in Luke 23 and verse number 34, how did Jesus deal with them? Luke 23, verse 34, this is what Jesus said. He says here, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus dealt with enemies and sinners. He dealt with them gently. Let's read also how humble Jesus was, as it tells us in Philippians when it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," in Philippians 2, verse number 5. It then says, "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus was humble. He submitted to God's will. He was willing to accept punishment from others. He gently accepted it. He was meek through it all. But Jesus was not spineless, but firmly dealt with sinners with, again, righteous indignation. We can tell that by reading in what he said in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. We'll just read a little bit of it. In Matthew 23, Jesus spoke to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to the works, for they say and do not." He then said in verse 13, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, for a pretense, make long prayers. Therefore, you receive the greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourself. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.' Fools and blind." Again, verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Same thing in verse 27 and verse 29. Again, Jesus firmly dealt with sinners with righteous indignation. in John the second chapter, and verses 13, John the second chapter, verses 13 through 17. And it tells us this, John 2, 13 through 17. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." And so we see the examples, and we realize that meekness is also doing what's right about sinners, dealing with them in the right way. Sometimes they need to be dealt with in a gentle way, and other times they need to be dealt with like this, and it doesn't mean that you're still not meek. Because Moses and Jesus are the two greatest examples of meekness in the Word of God. But there are other examples, both in the Old and New Testament. Though the word meek may not be used to describe the others, if they have the characteristics of meekness, they are meek. But having seen what meekness is, and two examples of meekness, we need to consider how it applies in our life. So let's first look at James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, verse number 21. In James, the first chapter, verse 21, and here it tells us, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with what? With meekness, the implanted word which is able to save your souls." What that means is you will accept and do what the Word of God says. You're not going to question it because other people say it doesn't say it. If you see what the Word says, you're going to do what the Word says. We will believe what the Word says, and we will do what the Word says. One who is meek, therefore, is teachable. Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to be taught? Even any one of us. I'm not just talking about people who haven't maybe done a certain thing. I'm talking about every one of us. Are we willing to be taught? Do we think we know everything the Bible says? Do we have an open mind? Those at Berea, after they heard the scriptures, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether such things were so. Anything that you are being taught up here by Peter, by me, or by anyone else, make sure it tells you in the Bible what we are saying. Again, one must be meek as well as pure in heart in order for the word to have the right effect in that person's heart. So receive the word with meekness. Why? Because it is able to save your souls. And so that is one of the things we need to do with meekness. We need to be able to listen to the word. And we need to teach with meekness. Let's look at 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, as Paul is writing to Timothy, who of course is a Christian, and he tells Timothy again in 2 Timothy 2 and verses 24 and 25, and it says here, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all." And again, that gentleness is part of this meekness. "He must be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." As we give a defense for the hope that is in us, we are to do so with meekness. In 1 Peter 3:5, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set God apart in your heart. And always be ready to give an answer to everyone. Be ready to answer everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. And you're supposed to give that answer with meekness and with fear. Of course, we need to enthrone Christ in our heart as the Lord. Be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks the hope, a reason for the hope that is in you. So when a Christian is asked to justify their position, they need to do it with reason. They need to do it with logic, not arrogance, not pride. The answer is to be made in meekness. It's supposed to be free of scorn, free of haughtiness, free of bitterness. It's supposed to be with gentleness and with humility. One who seeks to teach others must himself also submit to the message that is being taught. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16, 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, again, Paul writing to Timothy here, he says, take heed of yourself and to your doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Again, it's not going to be effective if you're teaching the word but not living the word. Again, so we use meekness in receiving the word. It's able to save your soul. We use meekness in teaching others, and also we correct sin with meekness. When a brother or a sister in Christ is guilty of sin, let's see what those who are spiritual are supposed to do. Galatians the sixth chapter, Paul is writing to the brethren at Galatia. In Galatians the sixth chapter, verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Again, it doesn't say meekness there, but the spirit of gentleness or meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So as we go to our brother or sister, we should not approach them. If they are overtaken in a weakness, we should never approach them in a I'm better than you, self-righteous type of attitude. Our approach will be more successful, again, if we are humble. If we realize that it could happen, what has happened to them can also happen to me. To realize that I am not guiltless, that if I say I have no sin, I deceive myself and the truth is not in me. 1 John 1:8. We need to show, as Jesus did, our love and compassion. It doesn't mean, again, to take a soft approach in dealing with sin. But we deal with it, the sin and the sinner, with a spirit of meekness. And then we need to deal with problems and discouragement with meekness. Again, we go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Paul is urging the Christians at Ephesus to strive toward unity. And in the fourth chapter, he mentions some attitudes that will help promote unity. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. You know, problems and disagreements can disrupt unity in the body if we all had meekness in dealing with church problems and discouragements, few, if any, divisions would ever occur. With meekness, what will the first question always be? The first question with meekness will always be, what does the Lord want? Not what do I want, what does the Lord want? What is right according to God's revealed will? The question will not be, what do I want? That's a self-centered question. With meekness, we control also our tongues. In James, the first chapter, verse 19. It says here, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to speak. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody's nodding their head. I guess I'm wrong. It doesn't say that. It says, every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And in verse 26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. The tongue, if not most problems and disagreements come from the tongue. In fact, probably all of them do. Well, not maybe not now that you can do so many other things. You can text and email and everything. But James tells us that division and strife come from our own lust and our own self-seeking spirit. With meekness, what we will do, we will not insist on our own rights. Rather, we will waive those rights for the kingdom of God. We're not going to read it, but read 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and you will see how Paul waived his rights for the kingdom of God. Meekness is to be a characteristic of our entire life. It's not merely a tool that we pull out when teaching or being taught. It is a quality that should characterize our entire life. All Christians should not think, well, I was born this way. But they should choose. Each of us should choose to be meek. That's what Jesus wants us to be. The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In Colossians again, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter, verse number 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. Put it on. Wear meekness spiritually. Let us show humility toward God and toward man. Let us accept the discipline that we receive. Let us practice self-control. And let us have inner strength and inner mastery of our whole total being. Then we can be more like Jesus, who was meek